The Buccaneers Total Access Show.
Touchdown Tampa Bay!
On your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 103.5. Here's your host, Dave Moore.
Welcome to the Total Access Show, and tonight my guest, a friend of mine, we spent a little time off the field together. Tough circumstances, but a guy that's had to step in and play a number of roles here down the stretch. Adam Hayward, number 57. How you doing, bud?
I'm good. How you doing, Dave?
Well, how was today? A little bit rough?
It was. It was a little depressing to know that to come off a loss like that to a team who's, for better words, not one of the top teams in the NFL. It's kind of depressing to be around work right now.
Right, especially on the defense. You know, you guys, you're concentrating on stopping the run. You're doing the best you can. You're blitzing on first and second down. You're trying to keep eight guys in the box. But every time you do that, you got Megatron is the nickname, with big Calvin Johnson on the outside. I mean, what were you guys trying to do? You had an opportunity now. Next day, watch the film. You know, what was your assessment of what was going on?
You know, honestly, it was tough because we knew that they were going to get him the ball, you know, somehow, some way. And it seemed like, you know, whatever we were doing to get around and get by him, I mean, that man is one of arguably the best receivers, you know, in the NFL. And he was making some great, great catches. And it was just kind of frustrating because the quarterback was either, you know, three-stepping. It was real quick pass, so you couldn't get that pressure to him, really. So, you know, I mean, that was the hardest thing because when you got a guy like that, you throw the ball anywhere in his vicinity and, you know, he's going to grab it.
He's a big dude.
Big dude.
Impressive-looking athlete.
Yeah, he is.
He was a guy that his name came up a lot down here because the Bucs were real interested in drafting him, and he didn't make it far enough down for the Bucs to take him. Now, defensively, you guys have been decimated. You know, lost four guys to IR just the last 3 weeks from the starting defense. You got guys playing inside like, you know, Bennett moved from end down inside. You got guys in different spots. You know, what was going on in the run game between the tackles that you guys just couldn't get them stopped?
You know, honestly, they were, you know, they had schemed up. We were just kind of killing ourselves, really, just not being in our gaps, trying to do too much. You know, when you get to a situations where everyone starts trying to do too much, you know, it's not good. You usually get out of your place, and then that's when the gap, you know, opens up and gets big. You know, you got guys wanting to play so hard and wanting to stop the run. You know, they might leave their gap and go to another gap because they think the ball is going to be over there. The next thing you know, it cuts back into your gap and not being disciplined. And that's kind of the thing. We were just doing it to ourselves, trying to do too much to stop that run and trying to make things happen and basically to get that ball back so our offense can score. And we kind of ended up shooting ourselves in the foot.
You know, you talk about the gaps, and that's something we've talked about a lot. You know, early in the season, you guys had some trouble stopping a run, and then you got it under control. Now, when you talk about holding your gap, now this is like a gap between a guard and tackle, and you know, you as linebackers have to kind of fit in your area as well. So what are you saying? They're leaving their gap too early, thinking the ball is going somewhere else, and then it winds its way back?
I mean, yeah, honestly, we all were doing it. You know, they'd hit a play, you know, and it'd break to the right. So, you know, you start getting antsy, and, you know, they're running the same play. So you're like, okay, last time it went, you know, further over to the right.
So you're anticipating, trying to guess a little bit?
You're trying to guess and trying to, you know, trying to almost be that, you know, that hero because you just want to get off the field and you just want to stop them. And so, you know, a lot of us would do it. We kind of get a little too far over, you know, and the next thing you know, they'd cut the ball back and go and
so you wind up with two guys and one guy.
Yeah, two guys. You know, next thing you know, you're running up somebody's back trying to make that play, and just that time that they cut back, you know, in previous plays before running the same thing, they did it. So you know, you just kind of start guessing, and that's bad. You can't guess out there.
Right. Now, did they run the plays that you expected them to, or did they have something special for you?
No, not at all. They definitely did exactly what we knew they were going to do, and we prepared for it. We just, like I said, we just didn't play the way we could play and the way we've been playing.
Well, you have to give Detroit credit. I think they had a good game plan because every time you guys would sneak eight guys in the box, they would run a toss outside or they'd run a quick screen to the receiver or the running back to try to get you guys to spread out a little bit. And as soon as you tried to anticipate and play that, next thing you know, he's running right up the middle again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they did, but like I said, a lot of it, when we watched film, I mean, we weren't playing buck ball. I mean, we weren't flying around trying to hit everybody, you know, and that's one thing that Raheem, you know, Coach Ra preaches. you know, is everybody getting to the ball and capping off and hitting people. You know, if that whistle hasn't blown, you get in there and hit somebody, you know, and leave that presence known. But we weren't playing like that.
My guest today, Adam Hayward. We're going to take some callers here in a little bit. It's a great game from a, you know, Monday morning quarterback standpoint. I mean, there's a lot of areas, well, if you did this or you could have done that. One thing that they did do, and I wanted to ask you, because you're a guy that's, you know, had to come in and play because of the injury to Quincy Black. You're also a full-time special team guy, and you got to be pretty tired after the game. But they look like they were using a lot of formations and shifts, and you guys were late, linebackers, DBs, even defensive linemen. You were trying to keep Miller in a nose, so they were swapping. Were they doing some things formationally to confuse you, or was just trying to communicate within yourselves?
Honestly, it was just kind of, I guess, for the most part, I mean, it was amongst ourselves, because what they were doing, like I said, we knew, you know, they were kind of just bringing people over. You know, it'd start on one side and they bring them over. It'd be the exact same play. You know, it's just a smoke and mirrors type concept, right. You know, and it'd be the same thing. We knew what was going on, but I mean, like I said, we just had a bunch of people that tried to, that weren't playing like ourselves and trying to, and then some people trying to take over and do a little too much. It kind of hurts. It hurts you.
And that's not abnormal. I mean, when guys come in, even guys, you don't get many opportunities as a backup in general. So you come in and you're like, hey, here's my opportunity. I got to make something happen. Well, next thing you know, you're not doing your job.
It's
hard to be patient sometimes, especially when the other team's successful. And that's why you want to stay with that run over the course of the game, because then people, you know, try to push and do too much. But, hey, I mean, you guys are beat up. Now, I agree. You don't make excuses, and I've been where you are, so you can't do that. But just for the sake of conversation, I mean, you guys are beat up. At one point, did I not see Parker – in the safety position coming down and blitz, the wide receiver, Preston Parker?
Where did that come from? We moved him to a little bit of defense because, I mean, he's a good athlete.
So did he rush or did he play protection?
He rushed.
He came in, was a blitzer?
Yeah, he was a blitzer. I mean, he's got an attitude for him, you know, a football attitude, and he could play defense. So he kind of was just a little bit of both, you know.
Was by necessity? Was that just kind of a change-up or just to give somebody a break?
Really, that's just – you know, coach tries to find the best situations for his players. And, I mean, Parker has that attitude. So they're like, well, we need to find a way to get him on the field. And, I mean, obviously DB, you know, our DBs are kind of running thin. And, so they were just like, well, let's use this guy who can play DB. So, you know, they wanted to give him a shot at that and let him come out there and just try to hit somebody. So it was awesome.
And it would make sense to bring him as a blitzer because we've seen him on punt return one-on-one with that edge rusher. And he beats him consistently, so it would make sense. And because of the injuries and things like that. But, I mean, that sends you a little bit of a message that you're taking an offensive player from wide receiver and you're throwing him in to be a rusher on defense.
I mean, it is. But our receiving core, I mean, if anybody sees, our receiving core aren't the typical receivers. I mean, we have four receivers playing kickoff, you know, and they'll run down there. It doesn't matter who gets the ball. You know, they're going to try to smack them in the face. And that we take pride in that. You know, our receivers have the DB mentality. But, you know, obviously they have the hands of a receiver.
One of the things we also saw was you guys tried to blitz more on first and second down. And was that to try to help stop the run?
It is, but it's a little changeup. You know, Raheem, you know, Coach Ra likes he likes to bring that pressure, you know, because most teams don't blitz on first down. You know, you blitz on first down. You know, you're changing up your statistics, and that's one thing.
Tendencies, right?
Yeah,
that's
your tendencies.
That's all part of the chess match. That's what that big flip card is for the offensive coordinator. On third down, they're 80% of the time they're in Tampa, too. So
exactly.
Let's run, you know, blitz zone.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And so we kind of just Rod likes to keep it, you know, keep them guessing, and he does a great job at that, you know. And it was very successful, as you saw. Ronnie Barber got a couple tackle for losses. But like I said, we just we wanted to do so much, and things just kind of – we let things slip. We let our core beliefs slip.
Right. And with the blitzes, we saw a lot of them. We saw them in passing situations. One of the things, you know, was Detroit that good at protecting? Because we saw linebacker blitzes. We saw corner, safety. But they weren't putting pressure on Stanton.
For the most part, it was all quick game. So it's kind of hard. You know, you blitz and
is that what he was just getting rid of?
Yeah, before you even get there. I mean, the ball was out, and it's very tough to blitz, you know, quarterback, you know, an offense that's just three steps, you know, one, two, three, ball's gone. Because by the time you even get there, when we get, I mean, we're getting there, but he already threw the ball. So, you know, you're hitting him or pushing him out down the ground, but the ball's already gone.
Right, and that's the importance of stopping and running first and second so you make those third downs longer so they can't use so
they can't use that quick game.
And we saw the blitz coming with the zone where we saw Styles dropping on the backside, and he was able to hit that little slant in behind it.
Yeah, right behind
three or four times until Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said,
the buck killer.
Yeah, that receiver. I mean, that guy, I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due, and he is a great receiver. If that ball is anywhere around him, I don't know how he does it, but he's able to get that ball.
He's really he is special. You talk about the big catch, third and eight in overtime.
Yeah.
It's really, I mean, that was the play that sealed it. Did you guys have an opportunity to see that on film?
Because we did.
From the box, it looked like it was close enough. And at that point, just for the listeners, in overtime, you can't throw the red flag and challenge it. It has to come like inside of 2 minutes at the end of the half or 2 minutes at the end of the game. It has to come from upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And Raheem intentionally called a timeout to give them enough time. I thought it was close enough they needed to review it.
It definitely was. It definitely was. And, I mean, obviously you can't blame, you know, the officials for your game. But
like I said, this is for conversational purposes. Only.
Right, right. They should have – in a game like that, they should have reviewed it. You know what I mean? A game's too
close.
Like
that's the deciding play right there,
right,
in my opinion.
Yeah. And it was very close watching it on film. It was very close, you know, and you never know. You know, they could have looked at it and been like, no, he didn't catch it. And
it's worth a look.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's definitely worth a look because, I mean, it's coming from upstairs. So, I mean, I don't really know, you know, what their mindset is, but a lot of things they should review and measure, and we didn't get a lot of that stuff. But like
right.
I said, you can't really put that on them because, I mean, we didn't come to play.
Right. And I normally, when I talk on the radio, I don't really – say the refs are terrible, but they were terrible yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, they really were. Did you have an opportunity to see the pass interference with Kellen? I know you, as a defense and as your linebacker group, do not watch the offensive film after the game, but I'm sure you saw it live.
Yeah, no, definitely did. As a defensive player, too, you know, I mean, if you don't turn around and look for that ball.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
You as – all right, your linebacker coach is in your meetings with you, and they're telling you how to cover a guy.
Mm-hmm.
What do they tell you that you can't do?
Yeah, you can't block his face and kind of – you got to turn around. If you're going to go up for the ball, you have – I mean, you have to make an attempt at it. And
you can make contact as long as you're
– going for the ball.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the whole – the guy had his back to the quarterback the whole time.
Right.
Freeman tried to go the other way. Winslow ran out of room, so he stopped. The guy ran over and grabbed him.
Grabbed him.
He's got his back to the quarterback the whole time.
Yeah.
He initiated the contact.
Yeah, and that's the thing is K2 Kellen, he just kind of stopped, grabbed the ball. And, you know what I mean? He didn't do anything, hit him. The guy's in his face grabbing him. And I don't understand that. And then, okay, if you do give that to him, you know, the next play, you know, how do you not call the other guy, you know, on Mike Williams passing
the in that one, you're taught as a defensive guy, if you're fighting for the ball, you can get away with that little arm bar and some things like that. That one is more of a – you can rationalize a no call better than the other one.
Yeah.
And from an offensive guy, they told us is we can make contact, but as soon as we extend our arms, then it's offensive pass interference. And we saw one earlier in the game where Winslow ran up and he hit the linebacker, but he did extend his arms.
Right.
That's why he got that call. But even when he was trying to get his hands free because the guy was holding him, he just tried to break his grip. He didn't push him off of him to try to make that catch.
Yeah, and I mean, it's sad to kind of see, but, you know, and especially because K2, I mean, that guy's working. And he tried everything he could in his power to make a play. And, you know, it's kind of sad to see because he did. And I don't know where they got that from because I've never seen it in my life. Usually as a defensive player, you know that you need to turn around and attempt to look like you're catching the ball. If you're gonna
try to
make a play on it. You know, if you know you're not going to get it and hit the guy, at least you look like you're going for the ball.
Man, it's usually you see refs just, you know, we've all seen the Hail Mary pass at the end of a half or end of a game, and you've seen offensive guys throw defensive guys down and vice versa because at that point the refs don't want to make a call at all.
Right.
Just let the guys play.
Yeah, let them play.
Well, if a play of that magnitude at that point of the game, just let them play.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Carrera, he used to run the referees in the NFL, came out today, and he said, you know, at best, that's a no call. If you're going to call something, it's got to be on a defense.
Yeah.
There's two things. It could be pass interference or illegal contact because you ran over and grabbed him.
You ran over and
so
just grabbed him.
So no matter how you look at it, he said there's absolutely no way that really should have been on the defense no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, I mean.
Now, that was obviously just no excuse because when you have the ball on the, you know, first and one
right.
or first and goal on the one, you know, you got to really put it in there. You got to find another way to put it in there and not have it rely on a pass interference call. So,
yeah.
But that's just for our people listening out there. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back here. Guest today, Adam Hayward. Phone numbers quickly if you want to call. Great opportunity to be that armchair quarterback. Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS, 2827. Call us and give us your thoughts. We'll be back on the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
Welcome back to the Total Access Show. My guest tonight, Adam Hayward. Again, if you want to call and be that armchair quarterback, number in Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620. And 800-596-BUCKS, 2827. And before we go to the phones, just talk about the end of the game quickly. You know, you guys, offense is trying to be more conservative, make Detroit use their timeouts. They know you guys are tired. You're beat up. You've been out there a long time. They're not able to get that first down. They're able to force them to use all their timeouts, but you guys have to go back on the field. Now, traditionally, when we see the Bucs defense in a two-minute drill, you have, you know, you're platooning defensive linemen in and out to get them rest so they can rush the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, you we're going to talk about special teams-wise and Biggers and some other guys that, you know, have to do double duty. You guys go all the way down the field. They tied a ball game, and then – Detroit wins the toss for overtime. At that point, what were you guys saying on the sideline?
Honestly, it was frustrating.
Keep the language clear.
Honestly, it's frustrating because, I mean, you know, you win that toss, all you have to do is get, you know, in field goal range to win the game. And it was definitely hard to see that, but we knew, you know, on special teams going out there, we say, okay, we got to make a good play, you know. And I think we stop them on the 20. I want to say that, like, on the kickoff.
At best, I think. Maybe
yeah,
21.
I think it was, like, maybe 21. It was an amazing play by Ben. You know, and then we're thinking, okay, defense, we have this. You know, they stopped the 20. Let's just go three and out. But
you guys got to be tired. Now, you're in a two-minute where, obviously, that wears you out. You don't get that 30 seconds in the huddle. And, you know, and I know, even in the box, I'm like, if they ever want to win a toss – This is it. I mean, you need the coin toss bad just because of the situation you're in. And I think Detroit knew that, too. And that, you know, what was it like on the sideline? Was it like, oh, man, or were you like, you know, no big deal?
Nah, you know, our mentality.
Tell me
here,
the truth.
Nah, truthfully, our mentality here, you know, and how Raw has us, that was gray matter, as he always says. It's gray matter. You know, our thing was let's get this ball back. And obviously we didn't, you know, but I mean, we kept fighting all the way to the end, and you can see, I mean, that's just our mentality. We're not going to stop fighting. And it was frustrating that, you know, they got down there. And like I said, they had some good plays, you know, in the first
one. No, you have to give him credit. I mean, Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, you can't take away the run and try to take him. You're trying to get eight guys in the box, and you're leaving. Which I think the corners overall did a pretty good job. If you got one-on-one with a guy like that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't play two and have a guy over top. I mean, it's hard to stop both. And we talk about it every week. People get tired of me talking about, hey, you have to stop the run first.
Right.
So that you can take away receivers and stuff. And you have to give them credit. But you guys were certainly under pressure.
Nah, you do. You do have to give them credit. And, I mean, like you said, it's tough. You know, you go to stop the run and move people in, you know, and then they get the ball quick to Calvin Johnson.
Right.
And it's very frustrating. And then you're like, okay. You know, Raheem's like, okay, let's stop Calvin Johnson. Next thing you know, they run something up the middle, and it was just like a lose-lose situation. And you know, we weren't, like I said, we weren't playing like ourselves.
Right. And the first two runs of overtime are big ones.
Big
right?
ones.
You give up 40 yards and two runs, and now you're like, man, now you're scrambling.
Yeah.
But you did a good job, and you stopped them on first and second, and then he makes that. I mean, there's not many guys I've seen in my 15 years of playing and 4 years of doing that can make that catch.
Right? Yeah, not at all. I
because
mean,
Styles actually hit his arm.
Yeah.
He said, I heard an interview after the game.
And he hit him,
And the ball kind of floated high and behind him. And, you know,
it looked like
it come down?
I don't know. It looked like a duck when you watch on film. Like, Styles hit him. I mean, if it would have been a split second later, it would have been, you know, it would have been a sack. But, I mean, he hit him. And that, like I said, he got that ball just up in the air. And the thing about Calvin is you don't know when he's going to jump. I mean, the guy was running full speed and all of a sudden just stopped, just jumped straight up in the air and caught this ball and came down. He just, I mean, he's a phenomenal athlete. But, I mean, we got to stand up and make plays.
Right. No, I agree. All right, we're going to go to the phones. We're going to come back, talk special teams and stuff in a little bit. We have Nick in Sarasota. You're on with Adam Hayward.
Hey, first of all, guys, I'd like to say, you know, it's been a great season watching you guys play. And, you know, no matter, like, what would happen in the game, win or lose, it just seems like at the end of the game, it was exciting to watch compared to other seasons, you know, just because how hard you guys play.
I appreciate it.
You know, and just what I have to say is one comment. You know, I've noticed this in other games. It just seems like when the fourth quarter comes around and the Bucs defense has to stop that run, it doesn't seem to happen. And I just wanted to get your comments on that and see, like, what breaks down, like, what happens, what do they do that makes that happen?
You know, honestly, I couldn't answer that for you because I mean, I'm not too sure. You know, we try to stop. Usually when you get to that fourth quarter, a lot of teams are doing more of passing situations, you know. So we kind of go out there with the mindset that, you know, they're going to try to throw the ball. And next thing you know, they hit us with a run. So then we have to kind of change our game plan. And we've been good about that. I mean, we've won a lot of games in the fourth quarter. So we're definitely a better fourth quarter team than a lot of people. But just, you know, we just didn't fall under that lucky hand, I guess, this past game.
Well, I can help answer that a little bit. You know, this defense is built on fundamentals. And mm-hmm. You're talking about holding your gap. You're talking about sound tackling in the open field. You know, a guy that I think was really unheralded when he was in there was a guy like Cody Grimm.
Yeah.
So he's in the right spot. And anytime he had an opportunity to make a tackle at the line of scrimmage, he was under control and he made the tackle.
Definitely.
Without him in there, you see sometimes a safety getting up there a little bit late. He does tackle him, but he gets dragged 4 yards. Well, difference of a 1 yard gain on first down and a 4 yard gain to the fan doesn't mean a whole lot, but it changes your play calling. It
Definitely.
Changes your ability to do some things on defense, to put pressure on a quarterback because you have to play honest and stay in your gap mm-hmm. versus getting into some crosses and stunts to really design to put pressure on a quarterback. And as you lose a guy like McCoy, who's really come on to help that run, mm-hmm. you know, and you lose, Tlaib on the outside, who's going to lock down a receiver by himself so that you can leave that eighth guy, you know, hanging around that line of scrimmage to help stop it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely would. But at the same time, you know, our mentality, like I said, is we, you know, the next man steps up and plays. So
right.
you're expected, you know, this is the NFL. So if you come in, you're expected to go in there and play to the best of your ability and make it seem like, you know, that defense or offense didn't miss a heartbeat, you know. So, I mean, it's easy to make excuses because we're a young team and people are getting hurt.
Right.
But, I mean, that's –
And we're doing it for conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
Because as a player, I've been where you are.
Yeah.
You don't. Because you're right. As a backup guy, you don't know when you're going to have your opportunity. Your window's
right.
small. And a guy like yourself, you make a living on special teams and you're a backup guy. But if somebody goes down, if you don't play well, you know what? They're going to find somebody else to be that backup guy and a special team guy.
Exactly.
And I was the same. I played every special team. The guy in front of me got hurt, and I made sure when I had my one chance I was going to play well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you have to be smart enough not to try to do too much.
Right.
I'm going to do my job. I'm going to grade well. And regardless of how the team does, I have to do my job first, and that's going to help the team win.
Right.
And we've seen guys do it. We saw Cody do it. We've seen a lot of guys come in and play very well this year. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We have Phil in San Diego. Phil, you there?
Hello. How you doing, guys?
We're doing good. How you doing?
Pretty good. What's up, Adam Hayward? How you doing, sir?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I do admire what you do for to honor your mother. I wanted to comment on your insight about doing too much on the field. Usually it's to compensate the lack of someone else's play. I just want to say I would love to see you on that field a lot more. My question is, who's the hardest hitter in that linebacker squad? And good luck against Seattle. And when you're in San Diego, I got a California burrito for you, man, and Merry Christmas, buddy.
Appreciate it, man. Merry Christmas.
Who's the hardest hitter on the defensive line? Or the linebacker group?
The linebacker room. Well, Quincy's not playing anymore, so I'm gonna have to take that role since Quincy's down. I think, you know, Quincy and I both have that same mindset, you know, that we want to come up and smack you as hard as we can, and we both, I mean, in the Washington game. I mean, you saw Quincy came up and hit, you know, what was his name, Betts, the running back, stopped him straight in his tracks, you know. And, you know, as coming in with Quincy, it's and being like Quincy, we play the same style. It's exciting to see, you know, that linebacker just step up and hit that running back hard like that. So I think, you know, now that Quincy's out, I'm going to have to give it to myself.
I wouldn't expect you to say to me yes, even if Quincy was there. But you guys are more the traditional linebacker size. You know,
yeah.
We've seen in Tampa for a long time, they have that undersized, quicker guy, kind of like Quincy, that's able to run around blocks, chase things down, mm-hmm. not necessarily that point of attack guy. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know the answer to this. Just remember that you're on the radio when you answer it. I've heard your nickname is Wood.
Yeah.
Can you answer that on the radio?
Yeah, I can answer that on the radio.
Where does that come from?
You know what? That comes from Raheem. Honestly, he didn't like calling me Hayward because it didn't have a ring to it. So, you know, one day he just started with Wood. So it
wasn't because you can lay the wood when you hit somebody?
You had to ask him. I mean, to me, I tell myself that. But
you can rationalize it.
I can rationalize it. Yeah, I feel that way. But, no, I mean – I think he just didn't like the way Hayward sound. I mean, he said it one day. I was like, Coach, that's not my name. My last name is Hayward. And he's like, yeah, but I don't like the way it sounds, so I'm going to call you Wood. And, I mean, for – she's 4 years now.
Yeah, well, I hear all the players calling you. Yeah, I was always wondering where it came from.
Everybody. He'll do an interview, and he'll say that, too, on TV. He'll be on TV. You know, we got linebacker Wood. People look at him like, who? You know, and he has to tell them Hayward. And, I mean, I go by that with everything when people see me. Even I was at Best Buy, and you know, some of the clerk people checking out people were like, hey, Wood, can you sign this? And I'm like, turn around to see, like, who, you know, is it a teammate or something? But, I mean, I don't know. It's a nickname he gave to me, so, I mean, I'm sticking with it.
You got Facebook, it's Wood?
My BBM, you know, Facebook.
Twitter?
Yeah. My
Styles, right? Social media guys.
Yeah.
Well, we had Phil in San Diego make reference to your mother. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Honestly, there's a few things that that wake me up in the morning and motivate me to play football. And first and foremost, I mean, that's God. And second, you know, it's my mother and, you know, and then my family. And, you know, there's a time like people are starting to understand my story and hear it. And, you know, Rich, like Coach Versace says, you know, everybody has a story. And I'm just trying to find a way to use football, you know, in my story to help others. And, you know, losing my mom to breast cancer and walking away from football for a year to coming back and actually being where I am now, being blessed, you know, that to play football and be in the NFL for 4 years, I found the best way to give back to my mom is to find certain ways to get in the community and get into, you know, doing different charities and helping out with charities and just, I mean, whatever it is, I always try to get my hands in it just because the community is so important. And this is the time in my life where I can help out, you know, being a football player.
Yeah, and you are a big charity guy. You and I have done, you know, the cancer, the fashion show mm-hmm. with our buddy Jay from West Shore Financial. Yeah. Gone over and escort, yeah. you know, the young women with cancer.
And, yeah.
And your honorary chair of the Susan Komen Pink Tie Gala.
Yeah.
What exactly was that?
It's a local, fundraiser where they do you know, raise money so that they can do the screening and testing for people who can't afford it. So we go out and raise money. And, you know, I kind of go out there and gave my story. We had a nice dinner and a silent auction on a few things and live auction. And then I went and did the run, the Race for a Cure. I went and did that and went down there and spoke.
How far was that run? Is it a 5K or something?
It's 5K, like 3 points.
Did you make it?
3 points. Yeah, I did.
Big guy like you?
Yeah, 29 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
I
was moving. Yeah. and I try to do it. And I'm getting into a lot of things with Ryan East and working with kids and underprivileged kids. At my church, there's a bunch of group of single mothers, you know. So I'm reaching out to them and this you know, I'm trying to get, you know, some stuff done with them, especially after football. I mean, like I said, this is just – being in the position I am, you know, I want to leave people with the memory of football players is not that stereotype of the traditional jock, you know, who's not the greatest person. You know, I take it upon myself to go out there and try to do as much as I can and show them that, you know, we all do care. And, you know, granted, we're in these situations and we're blessed. You know, that's the perfect way to give back.
Yeah, I wish all the guys were like that. Now, do you have a foundation? Or are you going to set one up at some point?
I've tried to set one up, and I was going to, but, you know, speaking with Shelton Quarles and Mike Allstott, they kind of advised me to wait a little bit and not try to get into it because it's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of time. And, you know, they said, you know, towards the end of my career, that's something I might want to look into and just do a lot of helping right now. So I do a lot. That's
more of a legacy type thing down the road.
Yeah, down the road. And, I mean, those are two great role models, you know, for myself to follow. So, I mean, if they say don't, then obviously I'm not going to do it, because obviously Mike Allstott is a great, you know, great football player, but a great person outside the community. And so is Shelton Coral. So, and even Ryan East, you know, if they're saying don't do it, you know, I'm gonna wait and just try to help out with their stuff.
And do it for as long as you can. Yeah. And then you can get a good understanding. Sometimes if you do it too early, it'll change your focal point and mm-hmm. stuff as you get older. You're listening to Adam Hayward. We're going to get back on the phone in a second. Phone numbers, if you want to call in, Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS, 2827. We are going to go to Doug in Miami. You're on with Adam Hayward.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, first of all, I think you guys are doing great on defense. You're only averaging five points less than the top defensive team in the league, which I think is outstanding for what the payroll is over there. My question is, and maybe both of you guys can answer this, it seems like we went through something similar back when in the Trent Dilfer days, and now we got as being, you know, the guy taking the brunt of the criticism on the radio. Now it seems it's Barrett Rood with today's team. How do you reconcile coming into the studio and doing the interviews when you got, you know, the people on air crucifying your family? How do you do that?
Honestly, you know, it's something that Raheem has. Another thing that Raheem preaches is, you know, it's all in-house. You know, it doesn't matter what people say outside, because, you know, one minute they're going to be for you, next they're going to be against you. So as long as you know that you kind of have each other's back and who you're playing for. And you know, we play for each other, so we know that when we're on that field, we're giving it everything we have. And you know, people are going to be your fans, and then there's going to be people who criticize you and point the finger. And Barrett's doing a tremendous job at being a Mike linebacker, you know. And people aren't seeing a lot of things that we see on film, because, you know, when you watch a game on TV, it's very easy to sit back and say this is what you should have done, would have done, or could have done. And when you're out there, it's very different.
One of the things, I'm going to throw this out there, and you can tell me if you concur or not, but traditionally, when people view a middle linebacker, they think of a big physical guy like a Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
But you have to understand, at Tampa 2 defense, the middle linebacker is responsible for obviously taking on a fullback, stopping a run. But in a passing situation, he has to run with the fastest receivers down the middle of the field, because if you stop the film halfway through the play, it's really cover three.
Yeah.
So this guy has to be that physical guy at the point of attack, but then he has to be able to run, because if you put your fastest guy as a slot receiver,
mm-hmm.
he can't get beat deep.
Right.
And we saw Hardy Nickerson was the guy that really was the first that played under Tony Dungy in that system, and he was that undersized, quicker guy, and
mm-hmm.
he was physical, but you never see him just blowing up fullbacks. They tried a couple guys in between, and then – they didn't work out, so they moved Shelton into that role. And Shelton was the same way. He was a sound tackler. He was a physical guy, but yet he didn't come flying over the offensive line and blow up guys in the backfield.
Right.
So, you know, you want that big physical guy, but yet at the same time, you need somebody to be the quarterback of your defense. You need a guy to cover the middle of the field. And it takes a special guy in this system. Mm-hmm. And what they don't realize is different systems require different – like, I couldn't play as a slot tight end and be split out running wide receivers like a route. I'll be in there – or running routes like a wide receiver. I was in there blocking defensive end seven techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not Kellen Winslow's forte. That's more of
– John Gilmore.
Exactly. Yeah. I was more – so they don't understand. Just because you play tight end doesn't mean you're that kind of guy.
Exactly.
Is that the same, or is that a good analogy at least?
No, that is. That is. I mean, it's true exactly what you said. You know, like our defensive scheme isn't like, Baltimore Ravens or San Francisco 49ers where you have Patrick Willis. And, I mean, that's the thing. You know, Barrett has to run down the field 30, 40 yards, you know, and end up where the safety ends up, but from, you know, 15 yards, you know, further back. And so you have to, in this Tampa 2 defense, you have to be very smart, you know, because he makes a lot of checks and calls. And like you said, he's the quarterback of the defense. And he has to be able to stop the run and, you know, cover down the receiver. You know, he has to run through a slot receiver. When you're looking at running through, on Sammy Strada, you know, on our team, you know, that's not something you want to do. You don't want to get in a foot race with somebody like that.
You don't want to be running with him stride for stride.
Yeah.
But one more quick, and then we got to take a break. But now how important is a defensive line? If that defensive lineman doesn't eat up some of those offensive linemen, now you have a 310-pounder, and whether you're a Sam, Mike, or Will, if those defensive linemen aren't helping you out a little bit, you know, he took a lot of criticism this week, but you have guys playing out of position. Now you're – guard is coming right up on your middle linebacker. Does that also play a role in you being able to do your job as well, whether those guys can hold up those offensive linemen?
Yeah, it definitely does, because when you got a big 200 and something pound man, or 300 and something actually running at somebody like myself that weighs 245, you know, theoretically I should lose. But that were, you know, and we
– defensive line kind of help you beat those guys up.
They
if they're double-teaming them, they kind of hold on
to
them, let you guys run to your gap.
Exactly, you know, and Roy Miller's come a long way. You know, I've seen him coming. He's you know, great at that now, you know, and that D-line is starting to come together as a unit. And, I mean, they're doing a good job, you know, taking those two people, because that makes our job a lot easier when I got to run in there and either hit a fullback or a tight end or somebody versus hitting a guard. You know, or a tackle weighing 200, you know, 290-something pounds, 300-something pounds, you know.
And he can hold his gap and get a hold of those guys and let you guys run.
Yeah, let us run right through our gaps and make plays.
All right, well, we got to take another break. We're going to be back with Adam Hayward in a minute on the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access continues on 620 WDAE and US 103.5. Here again is your host, Dave Moore.
Okay, welcome back. Our guest today, again, Adam Hayward. One more time for those phone numbers. You want to call us and give us your comments, your thoughts? Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, there's two of them, 800-546-4620 and 800-596-2827 Bucks. Okay, we're going to go back to the phones. We have Dean and Brandon. You're on with Adam.
Good evening, gentlemen. How you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, Adam, I'm close to somebody that played in the NFL for 6 years. In fact, he played a year with Dave up in Buffalo, and he had to 2 years ago. Kind of retire because of medical issues. And my question to you is, the average fan out there, we don't realize the beating you guys take. How's your body holding up, brother?
honestly, it's taking a beating. You know, there's, you know, you go all week and prepare yourself for that Sunday game, you know, and you take it easy kind of in certain situations in practice, because you know you're about to put your body through, you know, and through a battle, you know, not to say, you know, it's fun, definitely fun, but you know, I got to get a massage or something to work out something, you know, and get my neck right, because I just spent, you know, a few hours hitting another man that weighs 300 and something pounds. That I remember they did like a statistic or something. They said on average, it's like taking your car and driving 23 miles per hour into a straight wall when you take on another person like that. And you got to have the right mindset for it, definitely. But you know, as you play, and the longer you play, your body starts to take that tear.
How do you feel? You're in your fourth year. Do you do something now to take care of your body that you didn't a few years ago?
Honestly, yes, I do.
What kind of stuff?
Rondé Barber actually put me onto it. It's MAT, that muscle activation therapy stuff that that we do with Lynn Alcott. She does that, and I mean, that thing, it works wonders. You know, it got his knee a lot better.
Are you going like to describe that? Because I personally don't know what that is. I've tried a lot of things, and that's definitely not one of the things I was after.
Yeah, it's she goes in and just kind of pushes on all these muscles, parts, and trigger points to activate the muscles, you know. So if my knee is hurting, it's coming from somewhere else, like maybe my right foot or my right hip. My hips are off, and she goes in and activates, you know, kind of pushes on these muscles to get them firing again. Next thing you know, your knee is working. It feels better. Your shoulder's working and your wrist. And, I mean, it takes a lot of abuse off the body.
Now, do you get more beat up playing special teams or do you defense?
Honestly, I think special teams, because, I mean, the mentality.
Collisions are a lot bigger.
You're running
full speed.
You know, you're running 40, 50 yards down at another person, you know, getting ready to run straight back at you. So the collisions are a lot bigger, and especially my mentality. You know, Rich Versace has me in the mindset of just, you know, trying to hit everybody. And so if I see you, you know, and especially if you're not looking, I'm going to try to run right through you.
Just hit him in the front, not the back,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely hit him
penalty,
in the front.
You know, penalty, so much of what's happened in the last few weeks has been self-inflicted for you guys.
Yeah.
Now, I've been in the meeting room with Versace, and yeah, how does he deal with that? The penalties. I mean, does he make a big deal about it? Does he not? Does it depend on the penalty?
No, they're a huge deal. You know.
So what does he say?
I mean, I can't say what he says, but he definitely he definitely lets us know that you know, we have to be the smarter team as far as getting penalties. You know, he feels a lot of them are as he calls stupid penalties. When, you know, if I'm chasing you and you're in front of me, there should be no reason to go and hit you. Go find somebody else, because 9 out of 10 times I'm going to push you in your back. And the ref is, when he's looking, he looks over and he sees that guy falling, me standing behind you. I mean, his assumption is you push him in the back.
Right.
And, you know,
if he falls on his face, they don't see you actually push him. But if that guy near you falls face first, you didn't hit him in the front, because otherwise you would have flipped him over.
Right, exactly. And, you know, so their assumption is that's you know, a block in the back or something along those lines. Or if you see a guy get jerked, you know, you're thinking holding. So he teaches, Rich does a great job of teaching, you know, of taking an angle and going to get somebody else. So, if you're my man and I'm holding you at the line of scrimmage and, you know, you get out and I'm chasing you down, you know, if I'm behind you, I'm going to take a turn and go hit somebody else, because there's other people coming, you know, and I'll have a better angle on hitting somebody else. And I'll let somebody like Spurlock or Sammy, you know, do what they're paid to do and get by that person. I mean, you've seen, those two.
Yeah, know. Exactly. Let him make a miss.
Yeah, let him
he
make a miss.
He gets paid to make people miss.
And he does, and they both do a great job of it. And so, I mean, I'd rather have, you know, go and hit somebody else on the next level and let him make him miss and know that guy's not there to make the play after he makes the guy miss.
And how many of those penalties are a result of young guys not getting a lot of opportunity to play, trying to do too much?
Quite a bit, but then we do have, you know, some of our older guys that get penalties. I mean, I've been caught for having a penalty here and there. So Nico also, you know, but as long as you keep –
he'll be happy.
Yeah. But like I said, a lot of penalties, you know, some of the younger guys get, it's just like you said, it's just not that experience and knowing, you know, and as far as special teams, we're doing a great job of not having penalties, you know, and defensively, we're trying to get those down too. And then offense, I mean, that's something we got to really take pride in, because the team with the fewest amount of penalties, you know, that's hitting yardage. And that's what a lot of people don't know. You know, you get 7 penalties, next thing you know, you just gave away 100-something yards.
Right. You can give away 40 on one play, a big return.
Yeah.
He returns it for 40 yards. Now you got to go 10 yards from where the penalty was. I mean, you could lose 40 yards, half the football field in one play.
Right. I think a couple of weeks ago we had that, you know, Spurlock had a huge return. You know what I mean?
It was Washington too, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, and there was a big penalty. So not only did you have to take that back, now you have to go back from where he caught it, you know, and that's it's kind of frustrating. So, but, I mean, we focus on a lot of the details, a lot of the little things.
Yeah, it's not too often I get a special team guy in here, so I'm going to
–
Well, rule changes. There's been a couple the last – you know, one of the biggest is no more wedge.
Yes.
How much – you know, you're a guy that's on kickoff. We've seen you make some big plays. Mm-hmm. You know, you had a huge block when you tried the onside kick where they said that Connor Barth hit it with his leg. Your job was what? To take out the blocker,
take out that guy, you know, the closest guy to getting the ball back. So – And I mean,
what were you thinking there? Just make sure you get him.
Make sure I get him. Yeah, I mean, I feel like Coach Versace put the best person in that situation, because he knew that, you know, whatever he asked, I was going to do it. So it was exciting though, because I just looked at it like I get to run full speed and just hit this guy. So and it wasn't
and
that
you know
far.
He's not going to go anywhere, because he has to try to get the ball.
He has to come back to me, and I didn't have to run 30, 40 yards. I only had to run like 10, so it was great. But
you also had the big return on the recovery on that botched return against Washington, right?
Yeah. I did on that little the bobble play, the drive kick. You know, like you said, though, a lot of rule change. You know, that wedge, it's huge, because I remember last year, you know, it was different going down there and hitting these big men. They get them together, you know, and instead of one person being 300 pounds, now you're hitting 600-something pounds, you know, at 240 pounds. You know, you got to have, like I said, the right mindset. You know, I didn't really have a problem with it, but it saves your body.
Sure.
It definitely
now, have they, because of that rule, have they put smaller guys in there? Because, you know, a lot of times when you do get a penalty, it's really, I remember being stuck on the front line on kickoff return. So you're 12 yards from the guy when he kicks the ball. Next thing you know, I got to block a guy that's a wide receiver.
Right.
I mean, if I get back there, obviously I want to be close to the returner so he can't just run around me.
Right.
So you put yourself between him. But a lot of times you got no chance from the start.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot harder because the game is changing. You know, you're getting a lot of fast guys like, you know, you see, you get receivers. Like I said, you get some receivers with the right mindset of to go down there and make a big play. You know, these guys are a lot faster than a linebacker. And, I mean,
so you have a tendency to want to reach out and grab them.
Reach out and grab them. Yeah, you know, if you're not in a great position, you know, you'll kind of grab them to pull yourself back in, and, you know, and the refs are seeing that, so that's where you get caught. But, you know, the back wedge is definitely changing. It's not
kind of more linebacker body types?
More linebacker, tight ends, you know, a little more agile people, because you're running down, you got to block a receiver, like, that's 5'9", 180-something pounds running around. You know, he could run around you and still get back on the play. So you got to go with the more athletic type, and you know, because a lot of teams are doing a lot of solo blocks and traps, running across the field, trapping people. And
now they're going they used to go with the bigger, they'd even have defensive linemen running down on kickoff to take on the wedge. So now you're getting the running backs, the DBs, the safeties, all those guys now on both sides. You have that body type, so of course you're the big four, and Passaccia certainly has had his hands full because of the injuries. Now, he's not even sure who's going to be active. He's not sure who's on the roster.
Right.
And he's trying to put together all these guys to go there and cover kicks and everything else, which leads me to the next question. We saw a couple squib kicks in the game. Mm-hmm. Now, was that designed to do something like Washington to make a guy that's not used to handling the ball, or was it to stay away from Logan, the returner, or were they just missed kicks?
Honestly, they were designed you know, one of them kind of got away and took a great bounce, you know, to a, I think it was 75. It went right into his hands, and he got a good return, started on like the 42. But a lot of those just, you know, down on the field, the wind is bad, you know, and a lot of people don't see it because they're sitting up there, well, it's not that bad, but down there it kind of gets a little turn going on. And, I mean, you saw when they kicked off, they tried to kick the ball a little bit left, but the ball went screaming all the way to the right and died.
Come down like the 18.
Like one of them was like almost on the 30. It just dropped straight down. So, you know, Rich is a very smart person. So, you know, he knows what needs to be done. He's going to put us in the best situation. And, you know, squib kicks are great because usually that the person getting the ball is not used to it. So they're going to bobble it a little bit or just jump on it. You know, you can get them down right there.
Did you see that offensive line from New England run, I think, back?
Yeah, I did. I couldn't believe that.
That's a backfire.
Yeah, that is. That is. But the squib kick, I mean, for the most part, is you know, for the way the weather is and how the wind, you know, how it's going to take effect on that ball. And obviously not trying to get that returner, you know, that much room. So, I mean, we wanted that and we got what we wanted.
Now, you have – obviously double duty, and I made mention of this earlier. You know, here you are, you got to go kickoff, you got to run 50 yards, and now you have to start a defensive series. Did that take its toll? Because we saw Biggers in there. He made a big tackle on Logan on that one.
We've
seen, obviously, another guy, Dakota Watson's another guy that's been in there a lot. I mean, does that take its toll over the course of the game?
Honestly, I can't honestly say that it does, because our mindset is just we're conditioned for that now. You know, we knew it was going to be a time for that because the season's very long. So you kind of, you know, we have our strength coach that gets us right. You know, Curtis changed his little workouts for more so for the conditioning thing, and you know, we're ready for that. You know, we're in condition because we know we're going to have to play a long game. And at the end of the day, there's really no time to complain about it and worry about it because Rich doesn't care. He's not going to take you off special teams, and then you have Coach Morris, you know, Raheem's not going to take you off of defense. So it's either, you know, well, you're going to complain to each other or you just got to do it. And that's kind of our mindset.
Well, yeah, I would cover a punt after the offensive series. Yeah. And I'd be like, thank God.
There's
a couple times where we would punt and they'd fumble or something. We have to start to drive over. And you're kidding me.
Now that's different. When you got to kick off and then you run down there and then it's offside and you got to kick off again, that's definitely tough. But then, you know, the TV timeouts are awesome, you know.
Oh, there's no question.
TV timeout, you just unstrap. All right, this is great. Let me get water and catch my breath.
Sweet. Yeah, I agree. All right, we're going to be back with Adam Hayward on the Total Access Show. We're going to take another break, come back, and finish up. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.
Welcome back. We're finishing up here with Adam Hayward. And before we talk a little Christmas, a couple more charity things in the Seattle Seahawks. So what did Raheem have to say after the game? You know, we heard Rondé after the football game say we didn't really have a good plan for Calvin Johnson. But you knew going in, statistically, you guys matched up well. What do you think? And what was he really trying to say?
He's just – you know, I can't speak for Rondé, but, I mean, my assumption would be that it just seemed like we couldn't stop him. You know, we'd go in with a blitz to stop the run, then they'd throw it to him. You would go to stop him, then they'd run it. You know, it just right. kind of, you know.
So, plan-wise, what could you have done different?
Honestly, I don't know.
And you don't get paid to do that.
Yeah, so yeah, I just kind of – they tell me what to do, and I go out there and try to do it to the best of my ability. You know, I can't sit there and really say because, you know, our coaches do a great job of scheming teams. So, I mean, I just know we didn't play as a defense the way we should have played and made their job easier. We made their job harder by the way we played.
All right, so get through the game. You get to watch the film. So what did Raheem have to say today?
Honestly, he wants us to have, you know, that loss just be a bitter taste in your mouth and just know the reason we lost is because the way we played, you know.
We heard on the show, he said he wants you to be miserable. Did
right.
he say that?
He did. And, I mean, that's the feeling you do because when you lose to a game like that to a team, granted they're a team on the up and up, but honestly we're a better team. And the way we played like the worst team out there, you know. And it's just frustrating because, you know, you could have won that. And everything we wanted to happen as far as other teams losing – happened, and then we lost, you know, so it's very frustrating, especially, you know, when you're
But the encouraging thing is you still got guys making plays, you got a wide receiver helping, you got strong safety.
Yeah.
You guys are still in all the games.
Yeah.
So it just gives you something at least to feel good about,
it does.
With the last two games and, you know, going into the offseason.
It does. I mean, you know, we don't know what the future holds. You know, the playoffs are still there in grasp, and so all we have to do is go out there and play, you know, the Seahawks, beat them. You know, and get our ninth win, then go and play New Orleans and then beat them and get our 10th win. You know, when we started this thing, Raheem said, you know, it's a race to 10, and we're not done. We have two more games to get to 10. So, first and foremost, we get to 10 and then let the cards fall where they fall.
Right, and then a new rule that they implemented for the playoffs was if you're the first team to get the ball, you go down and kick a field goal, you have to give the other team a chance. And
right.
there was something we were scrambling around the block saying, is that just playoffs or can
yeah.
we have that apply now? And it might be something you see in the future because
yeah,
you know,
definitely.
They always feel it out just like instant replay. They'll feel it out here and there
yeah.
and then they'll implement it. That was one you could have used because the offense definitely could have moved the ball. And that's
definitely.
Was that ever a conversation? Probably not right now from your side.
I mean, not too much. I mean, but, you know, our offense is, you know, Josh Freeman is doing his thing out there. And the receivers he have, they're all on the same page and they're all looking really nice. And, our passing game, their two-minute offense that they kind of go out with, it's not even 2 minutes, you know. It'll be like 8 minutes or something. And they'll go out there and they can move the ball. And when Josh gets his rhythm, you know, and he's leading the reins, he's unstoppable.
And he is. What he's been able to do this year is really unbelievable.
Yeah.
We have a lot of topics to talk about. Let's just quickly. You and I had the opportunity to go hog hunting. Quickly. Talk to Seattle. We got to get out of here. Did you have a good time with it?
Oh, it was a great time. I could talk about that for a while. It was awesome.
We had an opportunity. We didn't get one.
We're close.
Animal activists out there are probably happy.
Yeah.
But we had to stay to your seating. How unnerving is that, listening to those things rush around in the bushes?
It was definitely. When you couldn't see it and you knew it was within a few feet of you, you know, you see the dog.
You feel the ground moving?
You feel the ground moving. Next thing you see the catch dog. The dog is supposed to get the thing, come launching out at my feet. I knew it. I was like, I look for the guy with the gun. But
exactly. And then he wants us to do it at night.
Yeah.
I know you're pumped up about it.
Oh, I am.
All right, well, quickly, 30 seconds. What are you expecting out of Seattle?
You know what? They're going to come in here and try to run the ball. And honestly, that's what I want, you know, to establish ourselves again and get back to that Buck defense where we're going to stop the run and make him pass. And you know, we want Hasselbeck, if he's the guy, to come in there and try to throw the ball on us.
Yeah, and Whitehurst is the other guy. And Marshawn Lynch is another big physical running back.
And that's what we like to play with, is a big physical running back, so we can go and hit him in his mouth and just show people, you know, we can't stop the run.
No, you got the runner and the quarterback again. Remember, this week's game moved to 4:15. I want to thank all the callers. Adam Hayward, appreciate your time. Personally, I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Happy Holiday. We'll see you next Monday at 6 p.m. following the Coach's Show on the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network. Good night.
You've been listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.